From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's program, we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
Our text for this morning is found in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. This day is notable in English history for two great deliverances wrought by God. On this day, the plot of the Papists to destroy our Houses of Parliament was discovered in 1605. While for our princes they prepare in caverns deep a burning snare, he shot from heaven a piercing ray, and the dark treachery brought to day. And secondly, today is the anniversary of the landing of King William III at Torbay, by which the hope of popish ascendancy was quashed and religious liberty secured in 1688. This day ought to be celebrated, not by the saturnalia of striplings, but by the songs of saints. Our Puritan forefathers most devoutly made it a special time of thanksgiving. There is extant a record of the annual sermons preached by Matthew Henry on this day. Our Protestant feeling and our love of liberty should make us regard its anniversary with holy gratitude. Let our hearts and lips exclaim, "We have heard with our ears, and our fathers have told us the wondrous things which thou didst in their day and in the old time before them. Thou hast made this nation the home of the gospel, and when the foe has risen against her, thou hast shielded her. Help us to offer repeated songs for repeated deliverances. Grant us more and more a hatred of Antichrist, and hasten on the day of her entire extinction. Till then and ever, we believe the promise, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper." Should it not be laid upon the heart of every lover of the gospel of Jesus on this day to plead for the overturning of false doctrines and the extension of divine truth? Would it not be well to search our own hearts and turn out any of the popish lumber of self-righteousness which may lie concealed therein?
I know.
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean? Or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions, the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it.
Thank you.
As he continues this series in the Law of God, Dr. Cairns brings another portion of a message dealing with the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In emphasizing the obligation we have to obey this commandment, Dr. Cairns has pointed out that the Sabbath is of divine origin and that it is moral in its constitution. It has not been abrogated by Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Further, God gave it for the gracious purpose of providing men with a day of rest, as well as a day devoted to worshiping the Lord. The Sabbath is meant to be a constant reminder of God's love. Now to continue this message, here is Dr. Cairns.
The Lord was careful to insist that man would be able to stop and catch their breath as they were running through life, and they had all the business of life to attend to, that after 6 days of labor maximum, then they would be able to stop and catch their breath. Not only so, he says this is true of the master, but it's equally true of the slave. And this is why the Lord enacted you're not even allowed to light a fire in your homes. And this, of course, was in the wilderness. That is not an absolute prohibition, as we'll see later on. There are times when the Lord does allow a kind of work on the Lord's day. But what the Lord is saying is, He knew human nature. Masters would say, we're keeping the Sabbath, but the slave will light the fire. The slave will go out and plow the field. The slave will go out and reap the vineyard. No, no, says the Lord. You will rest. You will catch your breath. But your manservant and your maidservant, even your very ox and your very ass, they must be allowed to be refreshed. This is my gift. He went even further in due course. And he taught that even the land had to be allowed to rest. And so he instituted a sabbatic year. And 1 year in seven, the land had to rest. So God gives it for rest and refreshment. In the Sabbath, the Lord appoints a day for worship. That's why He calls it My Sabbath. The rest time in the Sabbath was not a time of indolence. It was rest from work. But it was also a time for worship. Leviticus 23 verse 3 says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. It's a holy convocation. What is a convocation? The word con comes from the Latin word cum, meaning with. Vocation is the Latin verb vocare, to call. It is a convocation. It is a calling together of the people of God. Another word for it would be assembly. It's a holy assembly. It's a holy getting together. It's a holy congregation. It's a holy meeting of the people of God to worship. That's the Sabbath. In Leviticus 19:30, he says, ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. You have an interesting insight into this in the case of the Shunammite woman, whose ministry, or whose by the ministry of Elisha, she was blessed with a son. You remember the son took ill and died. She went out immediately to look for Elisha. She didn't tell her husband where she was, or why she was going, or anything else. And in 2 Kings 4:23, he is quoted as asking, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon, that's the feast day, nor Sabbath. In other words, he's saying, if this were the Sabbath day, I could understand you going to hear the prophet. But this isn't the Sabbath day, so why are you going? The implication is clear that part of the worship of the Sabbath day was to go to hear the Word of God. And we're confirmed in that opinion from Luke 4:16, because the Lord Jesus Christ actually practiced that Sabbath worship. He came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And he read from Isaiah 61. So very clearly then, in the Sabbath day, the Lord appoints a day for worship. Then on the Sabbath day, the Lord testifies His special relationship to His people. At first, the Sabbath was merely a memorial of His creation. Exodus 20. But then, this is why we read Deuteronomy 5. Then, when He redeemed Israel out of Egypt, He gave them the second reason for remembering the Sabbath. It was His redeeming grace. Deuteronomy 5:15, remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Now let me make sure that you understand what I'm saying here. The Sabbath is gracious in its purpose. The Lord gave it command for rest and refreshment. The Lord gave it for a day of worship. The Lord gave it to testify His special redeeming relationship with His people. And then, finally in this point, in the Sabbath, the Lord points us to His perfect work for us, in which we are to rest for life and salvation. What happened? God created and rested. And He said, you rest in my finished work. Did it ever dawn on you? What was Adam's first day in the world? It was a Sabbath day. Adam's first day in the world was a day of resting in the finished work of his Creator. When we go a little further, you'll see that similarly Christians rest in the finished work of their Redeemer. What does this tell us? It tells us that the Sabbath is a constant sermon on the love of God. Not too many people look at it that way. They're so hardened in their heart and so calloused in their conscience and so carnal in their worldly desires that they can't see the love of God in the day that He has given them. So the Sabbath is gracious in its purpose. But the fourth thing, and this is the big one, the Sabbath is permanent in its duration. Now here's where we really run into the objections. So, I'm going to ask you to think. It's a big thing to ask in most congregations, but I think you can think. So think. Isaiah 66, doesn't matter what your eschatology is, Isaiah 66 stretches to the end of time. In my eschatology, here we're dealing with the great millennial fullness of Christ. In verse 23, it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me. One new moon is to another is a reference to the monthly coming to worship. The celebration of every month and the worship of God. But he says from Sabbath to Sabbath to Sabbath, they're going to come and worship. What does that tell you? It tells you on the authority of the Word of God that the Sabbath observance will exist to the end of time. Even into the millennium itself. So if that's the case, we would be very surprised that it for this period, for it would be the only period in history where he had suspended it. Does man not need the Sabbath as much today as ever he did? I hear people complaining, it's not very practical in this modern world. The truth is it never has been very practical for self-seeking and self-serving men. But whatever men think or say, my point is, God has never repealed the Sabbath law. Now, some people are going to debate that, and I'm going to give you what they say. They ask you immediately, did you never read Romans 14, verses 5 and 6? One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it to the Lord. He that regardeth not to the day to the Lord he doth not regard it. So just whether you want to keep it or not, it's up to you. That's the argument they make. Then they turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, and that sounds even stronger, and it says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." And they ask you quite simply, can you not read? Do you not understand that the Holy Ghost says that the Sabbath is only a shadow of the things to come, and don't let anybody judge you about keeping it? And then they turn to Galatians 4, verses 10 and 11, and it sounds even stronger. Ye observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Now here's the argument. They say, Romans 14 is very gentle. It says, just let everybody be persuaded in his own mind. And Colossians 2 says, make sure even if you're persuaded in your own mind that you don't judge anybody else's liberty, whether they keep the Sabbath or not. But Galatians 4 goes right to the ultimate and says, if you do keep the Sabbath, this is their argument, if you're a Sabbath keeper, then you're scaring me because I think you're going back into Judaism. Now with all that, how can you ever say the Sabbath is a permanent institution? That it still endures to this day. Well, very simply. I believe that when you read the Bible, you should first of all have your eyes open. Second, you should have your heart open. There is a very big difference between the Sabbath, singular, and Jewish Sabbaths, plural. Throughout the Old Testament, there were many special Jewish days that were Sabbath days, and they were all ceremonial and typical. And that's what Paul is talking about in every one of these cases. In not one of these cases is Paul talking about the weekly Sabbath. In fact, in Colossians 2, he says, don't let anybody judge you about a holy day or a new moon or of Sabbaths, plural. Because those are all shadows. There's no reference at all to the Sabbath day. The Lord has never abrogated that. Indeed, He has retained it and has made the memorial of the resurrection of Christ. This Sabbath is now the memorial, not of creation just, but of the resurrection of Christ. And God has marked that by moving it from day 7 of the week to day 1. Now that will come as a shock to many. Let me point this out to you. Saturday is not of the essence of the Sabbath. There's a very, very intricate thing here that I'm not going to get into because I really am not convinced at all by it. But for centuries, going away back even to the time of Christ and before it, there was debate among scholars and Jewish scholars at that as to how the Jewish calendar was set up. First of all, they had 12 months of 30 days. That will tell you that every year they had 5 days left over. So twice a year they inserted 2 days and 3 days. It's one difficulty. Secondly, there's a whole series of Sabbaths that are set by date. Take your birthday, for instance. It's set by date. Right? So if it happens on a Saturday this year, is it going to happen on a Saturday next year? No. Why? Because if it's set by date, it must change by day. And there are people who argue that because this series of Sabbaths was set up by date, that the Sabbath actually changed and it was observed in every day of the week as the years went by. Personally, I'm not convinced of that at all. But I'm simply saying to you that Saturday is not of the essence of the Sabbath. The fourth commandment is worded very carefully. The Lord blessed the seventh day, not the seventh day of the week. He never says that. He's very careful in his words. And I'll say why he's careful. Because what he is stipulating is one day in seven, 6 days of labor, one day of rest. That's what he's stipulating.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.